Good morning again, everyone. It is time to praise the Lord. Yeah, it's always time to praise the Lord anyhow. But, you know, let's praise the Lord. You know, it's the psalmist. He lamented that people did not praise the Lord. I mean, he didn't appreciate it too much. And he lamented about that. Oh, that man would praise the Lord, he said in Psalm 107. And let's pick it up here at verse 15. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness, you know, unto the children of man. What has he done for us? Well, he has broken the gates of brass. Wonderful works that he has done. He's done so many mighty things. Now, what is your specific testimony of his goodness? Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. That's the shout. And that was the thing that was in David's heart, because people were not praising the Lord enough. Well, let's read a few quick things from the scriptures this morning. And then I want to invite people to come and praise the Lord. You know, let it not be my voice only that will be heard in praising the Lord this morning. Let the voice of praise be unified in this place, even this morning. Glory to God. You know, the scriptures say that it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to show forth his loving kindness in the morning, and his faithfulness every night. Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. David was one man that knew how to give thanks to the Lord. But we'll see other examples also that did not give glory to God in the Bible. We know of David. Everybody knows how David used to praise the Lord. I might read a few of his shout-outs this morning on how he loved to praise the Lord. But I'll also read a few examples of people that did not give glory to God. You know, so, you know, let's go through this just, slowly this morning, but surely as we look at praising the Lord. Glory to God. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for this morning. As we get started, we give you all the praise and give you all the glory here this morning. Thank you for another day, another opportunity to praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord, the psalmist said, at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Isn't that a wonderful thing, just to praise the Lord and to exalt his name? You know, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 34. My soul, even he said, shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble will hear thereof and will be glad. Let's praise the Lord together this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And let's read, you know, just a couple of verses from that one, just to exalt the name of the Lord today. It says, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herbs, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. Glory to God. He is the rock. Let's not forget that. And his work is perfect. Hallelujah. Let your people praise thee, O Lord. Let all the people praise thee. This is what the psalmist said again in Psalm 67. Just going to read a couple of these places and I'll tell you a couple of stories here from the Bible in a minute. Psalm 67 calls out the praises of the Lord again. It says, let the people praise thee, O God. Psalm 67 verse 3. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. What happens when they do that? Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. You know, when we begin to praise the Lord, it says even, you know, revival, increase of souls into the kingdom. The earth will yield her increase, will yield her, you know, goodness. And if we don't do it, the opposite will happen. The earth will dry up. Joy will be withered from the sons of man. But when we begin to praise the Lord, good things happen. The Psalms are filled with this, you know. So if I started to read all the Psalms that talk about praising the Lord this morning, we will be here for the next 3 hours. You know, I am not going to do that, but I will just read a few, then a few stories here. You know, let the righteous be glad, Psalm 68 and verse 3. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Well, rejoicing and praising the Lord, they go together. Sing unto God. Sing praises unto his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah. And rejoice before him. Glory to God. God, you know, is a father to the fatherless. He's a keeper of the widows. He's our God in his holy habitation. The Lord setteth the solitary in families. You know, God doesn't even like people to be lonely. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. Glory to God. On and on and on, he says. Well, let's look at quickly a couple of examples of people that did not praise the Lord in the Bible, and which wasn't very good. And what happened? And, of course, everyone, hardly is nobody that doesn't know the story of Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible. He didn't give the glory to God. You know, he thought that everything that he achieved, that he achieved it by his own power. You know, and he did not give the glory due unto God to God. Now, pride can be defined in many ways. One way to define pride is when we do not give all the glory to God. Like in the case of this great monarch. He was a great monarch. I mean, in fact, his kingdom ruled the kingdoms, ruled the world at the time. But at the end of his days, after the Lord showed him, then he gave one of the most flowing praises to God in that whole Bible. You know, he acknowledged God. I mean, he just wrote one of the most beautiful things, said some of the most great things about the Lord in that Bible. And I wish, you know, it would have been good for him if he had done that from the beginning and didn't have to go through all that. But I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought unto me. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 2. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and his dominion is from generation to generation. Well, you know, he figured that out, you know, finally. You know, he did not figure it out at the beginning, but eventually he figured it out. And when the, in the end of the matter, because, you know, what did he do? Well, he went and said, you know, is this not the greatness of my kingdom that I've established by the excellency of my wisdom and my might and all of these things? And instead of giving glory to God, he was just talking about how great he himself was. Well, and the Lord said, no, it is time to cut him down and show. And the Lord, you know, put something like this in the Bible for all of us to learn from it. The Lord just showed him that, you know, God is the one that ruleth in the affairs of men. And he can, you know, look to the proud and bring them down. Glory to God. There's nobody like that. God can look to everyone that is proud and bring him down. And this is what the king Nebuchadnezzar finally said, you know, when it was all said and done. He said, look, in verse, towards the end of that chapter, said in verse 34, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. Well, that was before, I mean, that was after he ate grass like oxen for 7 years. That was after God turned his heart to the heart of like a monkey. God put him down and he went into the bush for 7 years. Began to grow whiskers, you know, like an animal, claws and everything. And they drove him away from the habitation of men because he, you know, he was gross looking, grotesque. And they drove him away and he went and mingled himself with the animals. But God protected him. God didn't allow any evil to happen to him because, well, God wanted to show him something. So throughout those 7 years that he was in the bush, like a monkey, you know, his hairs grew, you know, like eagle's feathers and nails like bird's claws. And I mean, you would know that this man was a monarch that ruled the whole world at one time, you know, but, you know, this is what happens when people think that they are all that, you know, this is what he said that brought him to all that. You see it in verse 30. Is this not great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And that's what he thought. He thought he did all that. You know, and while the word was in his mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, thy kingdom is departed from thee. They shall drive thee from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And make you to eat grass as oxen, and 7 years shall pass over you. Until you know, that's right, that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men, giveth it to whomsoever he wills. Well, all of that happened to him, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 34, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth, now, this is what he figured out, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand, neither can anyone say unto him, what doest thou? Whew. Isn't that wonderful? That is a beautiful, glowing praise for the Lord, which he should have figured that out earlier, but he didn't. But thank God that at the end he put it out there and he said, look, there is none like him. Glory to God. Moreover, he said, at the same time, my reason returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness, he returned unto me and counselors, you know, his counselors, they sought him out again. And I was reestablished in my kingdom. Excellent majesty was added unto me. Now, therefore, I, Nebuchadnezzar, I praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways are judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. And he figured this out. And that's why we say today, oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that we would give glory to the God of heaven. That we will give glory to the Lord, the glory that is due to his name. That we would do that from time to time and praise the name of the Lord. And here's yet another example of another man that didn't praise the Lord. You know, he was a great king too. Fast forward, you know, thousands of years to the New Testament in the Roman kingdom. We go to Acts chapter 12, and this is Herod at the time. And this was a different Herod, you know, that was their title. They used to call them Herod. So this was, many of them throughout that we read in Bible. And this one that was there at that particular time, you know, there was something that was going on. He thought that he would have a celebration, you know, but he wouldn't give glory to God. And I'm amazed at how quickly God struck him down here. Now, the Lord has been so, you know, mightily gracious unto many of us that most times we don't give glory to God. But God doesn't do this right away. But we need to learn from this, but he's able to do it. So let's not think that God is not able to do these things. This happened in the New Testament. You know, he said that there was a day that Herod, he was set in his royal apparel. That's Acts chapter 12 and verse 21. He sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. I mean, he gave an incredible speech, you know, incredible speech. And everybody said, wow. The people gave a shout. I mean, they gave a thunderous ovation. I mean, they said, this is the voice of a God and not the voice of a man. I mean, they just did all of that. And this man, he didn't give the glory to God. He could have turned right away and said, I'm but just a man. Give glory to God. You know, but he thought because of his prowess in giving this great speech. I mean, there are some people that are natural orators. They are gifted. They can do all kinds of things. You know, in the ministry today, it's the same thing. People think that just because they, you know, have charisma and they can do these things and they have the power to influence the people and do all these things, they, you know, sometimes they forget that, you know, they are nothing before the Lord. And then he, you know, begins to get to their heads and they begin to, give, you know, glory to themselves rather than giving glory to God. Well, look at what happened to this man in this case. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. My goodness. Many people don't know that this is in the Bible. And he was eaten up of worms and gave up the ghost right there and then. I mean, can you just imagine somebody that's standing on a stage on a coliseum, you know, and thousands of people before him, you know, giving, you know, maybe hundreds or thousands, giving this speech that everybody told, my goodness, you know, this is that voice. I mean, this man's got a voice like a God. It's not a man. And then he, you know, he was strutting his stuff and he was happy with himself and everything, but he gave not the glory to God. And the Lord said, well, I'll show you now. The angel of the Lord smote him right there. Can you imagine what would have happened? People would have scattered in every direction. You just see this man just crumble down and wither away and become, you know, worms just came from everywhere. Ate him up. My goodness. Because he did not give glory to God. Now, we don't want that. You know, our God is a consuming fire. People forget that. But it is good for us to give glory to God. I mean, let's think of all the things you know, that God, how great God has been good to us. You know, rather than us stealing his thunder, we need to give glory to God. Now, here's what Hosea, the prophet, you know, even said about Israel. There are many people that were not happy when the people did not exalt the Lord. Hosea was not happy either. In Hosea, you know, chapter 11, verse 7, you know, my people are bent. This was the voice of God through Hosea. My people are bent to backsliding from me. Even though they called, you know, then all of them called unto the Lord, but none at all would exalt him. Now, how does that happen? How do people call on the Lord, but they don't even exalt him? Let's consider that in our hearts. People call on the Lord, but they don't exalt him. Well, I mean, this prophet wasn't happy about it either. Word of the Lord came to them through him. People, let's praise the Lord. It is a good thing to lift him up and to praise the name of the Lord. And every chance we get, you know, sometimes we tell people, oh, come on, give testimony and praise the Lord. And people just, you know, shy away or whatever. Everybody has a testimony. You always have a testimony. For the very fact that you are living, let the heavens be glad. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 31. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. And let men say among the nations that the Lord reigneth. It's the same thing. You know, this man wishes that men would praise the Lord. Even the creation, the nature. Let the sea roar. And the fullness thereof, he said, let the fields rejoice and all that therein is. You know, let all these things just shout the praise of God. Say, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord in Psalm 150. Everything, let them praise the Lord. How much more, you know, how much more the people of God that have his spirit. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Verse 34 of 1 Chronicles 16. For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy name. Well, let me read that verse to you in my own version, my own way. You know, and say ye to the Lord, blessed be the God of our salvation who has delivered us from our troubles. And now we give thanks to thy holy name and we glory in thy praise. That's right. We don't need to say God's going to do it. He already done it. So now it is time for us to praise the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And let all the people say, amen. And praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, it's a great thing to praise the Lord like that. Now, let's look at some of the other things that tell of, you know, how people praised the Lord. When God did great things for people, and they praised the Lord. They brought out, you know, some deep, deep praises of the Lord. And you just have to read it and see how. You know, there was this woman called Hannah. In the Bible that she, you know, she was barren. She was the mother of Samuel. And this thing bothered her for years, you know, because, you know, her husband Elkanah had two wives. The other one was, you know, fruitful. She had, you know, children, but Hannah didn't have any children. So her adversary, you know, mocked her. And then this thing was a burden unto her all the days of her life. Even her husband said, look, you know, am I not better to you than 10 sons? Even though she didn't answer, the answer is no. Because she wanted that son. And she went in the sorrow of heart all her days. And then she began to, you know, just, you know, pray and ask the Lord, you know, for just give me, And she even said, look, Lord, if you do this, I'll loan it back to the Lord all the days of his life. And she did. She's one of those people who keep their vows. A lot of people don't. They say, well, Lord, if you do this, I'll do the other thing. And when the Lord does that, they will not do it. You know, so this is the time for us to remember to give praise to the Lord. Hannah said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. 1 Samuel 2. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. See how God does things? He can put down the mighty, and he can raise even the feeble. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread. You know, people that were plenty, now they have nothing. God can do all of that. They that were hungry, cease, so that the barren hath born seven. She hath even more children. My goodness. The Lord kill it and make it alive. Bring it down to the grave and bring it up. The Lord make it poor and make it rich. He does all these things. Raise it up the dust. You know, and lift it up the beggar out of the dunghill to set him among princes. To make him inherit the king of his glory. Right, so the people ought to praise the Lord. He said, you know, she said, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven, the Lord shall thunder upon them. You know, glory to God. And he continued to, you know, she just continued to praise the Lord and said, by strength shall no man prevail. Don't glory. Don't think that you got anything. No, everything we got is from the Lord. Hallelujah. And we need to give the Lord even the more praise. We got to give the Lord a praise all the time. I mean, let's read a story here in the Gospels of some people that received tremendous blessing from the Lord. But, you know, did they praise the Lord? No. Well, maybe one of them did. But where are the others? I mean, Jesus said, you know, were there not 10 of them that were healed? So where are the others? And they would not come and give glory to God. So let's read this story in Luke 17 and verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, well, go show yourselves unto the priests. That's all he said. He didn't pray. He didn't lay hands on them. He didn't speak to the leprosy. He didn't do anything. Just gave them a simple command. Go and show yourself to the priests. Well, they can't really do that. But they, you know, the people are lepers. They have to be outside the city and all that. They are kind of outcasts. But, you know, they obeyed his word. And as they went, they were cleansed. Glory to God. Isn't that amazing? When we obey the word of the Lord, his commandment, glory to God. It brings healing. It brings cleansing. And as they were going, they were cleansed. And then they saw, they said, oh my goodness, their flesh came back. Like the flesh of a little child. They were just cleansed. And they went shouting, you know, and just happy and went on their merry way. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back. And with a loud voice, he glorified God. The others, they were shouting. We don't know what they were shouting about. But they weren't shouting his praise. But this one, he shouted the praise of God. He came back and returned to Jesus and said, my goodness, look at my flesh. Look at my flesh. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I am healed. You know, and he was giving glory to God. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and gave him thanks. But you see, he was a Samaritan. And you know, the Jews, they didn't like the Samaritans at all. But all the others, you know, Jesus said, where were the others? Were there not 10 of you cleansed? Where are the remaining 9? There are none that return to give glory to God except this stranger. And then he turned to him and said, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Glory to God. Now, we don't know whether those others completely be whole, you know, but this one, he got it. And the Lord was pleased that he came back and gave glory to God. Now, it is a good thing like that to come back and give glory to God. And if we don't give glory to God, you know, we are essentially proud. The sin of pride is a terrible thing. You know, people, a lot, even starting from Lucifer, a lot of downfalls have come to people, have come to, you know, even created beings like Lucifer, who was so close to the throne. You might call him vice regent at the time. But iniquity was found in his heart in the day that pride entered into his heart and said, I will be like the Most High. I will ascend unto the hills of the Almighty. I will set up my shop on the sides of the north. And I will do these things and so forth. I mean, why is it only God that can, you know, get the honor and the praise of the angels? I will be like him. God said, no, I will cast you down to hell. Glory to God. And, and there we see the Lord cast him down. I beheld Satan fall like lightning. Glory to God Almighty. Now, everyone that is proud in heart, Nebuchadnezzar finally said, the Lord is able to look to them and bring them down. Wherefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due season, he will raise you up. So that's what we're talking about today. I mean, I can go on and on and on. I mean, you know, there's so many places here where the psalmist called out the praises of the Lord. You know, and we can just go on and on and on and on and read them. I will just read a few more, and then I'm going to invite people to come to the stage and give a shout out to the Lord. Don't be silent now, because you don't want the stones to cry out in your stead. You know, the scripture say, well, if this should keep quiet, and they were shouting, the children and everything shouting, Hosanna, and said, it would be quiet. And said, look, if these ones kept quiet, stones would immediately cry out. Now, I don't want any stone to take my place. What's that all about? You know, I've got to give glory and praise to the Lord. Now, what is it that the Lord has done? I mean, just think, you know, in your heart. You know, now, the people are all over this world, they're celebrating the so-called Christmas. Everyone, you know, in the world today acknowledges the fact that Jesus was born, even though they don't admit it. But by celebrating Christmas, whether he was born on that day or not, whether the Christmas celebration itself, we know it had its origins in pagan rituals and even Roman culture and all that. But nevertheless, the fact that people even call out Christmas, and as I've said before, it is Christmas. It's not Xmas. Let's not take Christ out of it. You know, but people won't give glory to God. Now, let's see how, you know, the angels, when they announced the birth of Christ, how did they do it? You know, the Bible says that, you know, there were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Now, that's great joy, which shall be to all people. That's why till today, I mean, this is the one birthday that the whole world observes, whether they know what they're doing or not. Now, it's been turned to commercialism. It's been turned to whatever else. I mean, people don't hardly even know what it's all about. But Jesus is the reason for this season. Glory to God. And we ought to teach our kids and everybody, you know, and they don't want to give any glory to God. They don't want to praise the Lord. They don't want, you know, they celebrate, but they don't want to acknowledge. The scripture says, you worship, you know not what. These people celebrate, they don't know what they are celebrating. They just want to get gifts, put up the trees and lights and do all these things. Well, here's what the, you know, when the angel said that, he said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Now, the hosts of heaven, they came out, recognized the birth of this little child. And what were they saying? Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace and goodwill toward all men. Well, so ladies and gentlemen, glory to God in the highest must precede the goodwill toward men. Now, they didn't leave out the goodwill to God, man. They didn't leave out the good tidings. You know, the goodwill to all men is what people do today. Everybody's giving gifts. Everybody's so nice around Christmas. Well, the angels predicted it. And they said, well, there'll be goodwill. I mean, people are just show kindness. I wish that people celebrate Christmas all year round just because of the tenderness, you know, and the kindness, and everybody wants everybody to be happy, you know, and give gifts and be receiving our gifts. All of that is great as long as you give glory to God in the highest first, just like these angels declared it. But if you don't give glory to God, then that is no more than just a heathen, a pagan thing that people are doing, because they don't even know what they're doing. So let's call out the glory of God, even at this time, that men would praise the Lord that he gave us his son. Now, Jesus could not have died if he wasn't born first into our world. So the fact, you know, that they even celebrate this or observe it, you know, is a testimony that Jesus came in the flesh. He was born as a baby. Born in December? Probably not. You know, the shepherds would not have been out in the fields in the middle of the night, in a winter night like that. If he was born in December 25, that's too cold out there in, you know, Israel and all that. No. But whatever day, doesn't really matter. The fact of the matter is this. It's been observed. It's been celebrated. Let's better give the glory to God. And it's not about all these giving of gifts, sending of goodwill to one another. That's okay. If you give glory to God in the highest first. But that's the order in which the heavenly host called it out. They said, glory to God in the highest. But they didn't stop there. They also allowed for peace and goodwill toward all men. So you can give the gifts. You can do well wishes and so forth. But as for me, and somebody says to me, happy holidays, I say to them, Merry Christmas. Because you're not going to take Christ out of it. I don't want to hear holidays if you don't want to hear Christ. Glory to God. And I say, Jesus is the reason for the season. And a few days ago, I want to put out, you know, that very sign in front of my house. I said, Jesus is the reason for the season. Now, the homeowners association, they don't like it. Well, that's their problem. It's my property. I can put anything I want. Come to my house, you see it. Jesus is the reason for the season. So while I'm walking by, my neighbor says, happy holidays. I say, Merry Christmas. Glory to God. You know, it's all about Christ. And he's the only one from Genesis to Revelation. And even in this world today, only one whose birthday has that effect on the whole world. Although, of course, they don't know what it is. It's all commercialized now. I mean, oh, that man at this time will give glory to God. Can you imagine if the whole world turned their hearts unto God at this time, to give him glory for sending his only begotten son to pay the ransom for our sins and to give us a new nature. Take that sin nature out of our hearts. Would you imagine how great it would be if the world did that? Well, we can make that happen one life at a time, one family at a time. Make sure in your family, if you're going to celebrate, and I'm not bashing the celebration, you know, if you want to celebrate, make sure first you give glory to God in the highest. And once you do that, truly from your heart, then it's okay to do the goodwill toward all men. This is the order in which the angels called it out. But if you don't give glory to God in the highest, forget the other. The other one doesn't make any sense. You know, let's know that this season, Jesus is the reason that we are celebrating. And it's a good thing to celebrate the goodness of the Lord. That's right. The goodness of the Lord and his mercy. And said, oh, that man will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his mercies to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of brass and he has cut asunder the bars of iron. He's done great things. Now you put your own words there. And David is not the only one that knows how to praise the Lord. I do. And you do too. You put your own words in there. You tell him how great he is and all the things that he has done. Glory to God. You know, and God the Lord, he inhabits the praises of his people. And he wants, and we need to praise it. Because we were created to praise the Lord. We were not created just to continually ask for things. Father, give me this. Father, give me that. Well, that's good. But those are secondary. We were created to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, let your voices be heard even today. Now, you are in this room now. This room is about praising the Lord. So, come on to the stage and offer your praise. I want you to come. Glory to God. You know, everyone that wants to, feel free to do that. You know, come to the stage. And praise the beauty of holiness. Because now, more than ever, you know, who's going to do it? The world is not going to do it. All they're doing is just fill the shops with toys and things like that. Put up the trees and lights. And everybody's just doing whatever. They don't know what they're doing. You know. So we are the ones that must do it. We got to give the glory to God. There's nobody else that's going to do it. You know, we must do it. So I invite you, come. You know, even if all you say is glory to God in the highest, let's join the host of heaven and let's say it. Glory to God in the highest. You know, that's what we should be saying because it is missing out of all the commercialism and the celebrations and the lights and the gifts and so forth. And you know, all the little children, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if they knew that this was about the Christ and not just about the gifts? And not just all this myth that they are looking for somebody to come on the roof and give them some present. I mean, shouldn't we tell the children the truth about what is going on and why the world is doing this? That once upon a time, a long time ago, because the hearts of weak, you know, people were wicked, God sent his son into the world to change all of that. And the wicked hearts, they took him. By wicked hands, and they killed him. But this was by the determinate counsel of God. And God raised him up again on the third day. And today, we remember him because he was born. He came so lowly, but yet he was the King of Kings. I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful if we told the kids all these kinds of stories? You know, rather than Santa Claus and all this nonsense. You know, this is the time, you know, that we ought to let go. And there is no better time. Of course, every day we must witness. But there's no better time than Christmas to let people know that Christ came into this world. Do you even know what you are celebrating? Do you even know what Christmas is all about? Ask anybody that question. Most of them would probably don't even know. You know, but, you know, let's give the Lord some praise. You know, let's give the Lord some shouts of praise here in the house today. Come on and praise the Lord with me. You know, I'm trying to bring people up. I don't know why it's not working. Those that raise their hands, I'm trying to bring them up. You know, so come on to the stage with me and let's praise the Lord together. You know, every one of you that's here, you ought to have something to say. Everybody should have something to say to the Lord. The more, the merrier. The more we can, you know, praise the beauty of holiness together, the merrier. You know, so, you know, come to the stage and say something. Brother Adewoye, I see your hand up and I have sent you the thing to come up. I don't know why you are unable to come up. I've invited you to come up. Just click on the invitation to come to the stage. And if it's not working, you may want to go out of the room and come back again. I'm not sure why it's not working in your particular case. Everyone else that wants to come, please do that. Come and let's raise our voices and let's praise the Lord. You know, we don't do that enough and people don't do that enough, you know, but, you know, we love these. Some people do the celebrations and stuff like that. Some people are looking forward to Christmas gifts and all as if it's their birthday. It's not even your birthday, but look, you know, if you want to celebrate, that's great. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I don't, you know, Bible says, look, one person observes the day, another person does not, you know, every man be fully persuaded in their heart. You know, that's, you'll find that in Romans chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. One man estimate one day above another, another estimate every day alike. Let everyone be fully persuaded in his own mind. You want to observe the day, you want to celebrate it, you know, that's fine. That's your business, you know, but if you do, you better give glory to God in the highest first. And even if you don't, you better still give glory to God in the highest. Because that's what Jesus came into this world to do. You know, and he left his glory. And 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 will tell you, ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, how that though he was rich, I mean, he owned everything. Yet for your sakes, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You know, and that's an amazing scripture right there. But are we rich through God? Are we rich in God? Are we rich toward God? No. There was a man that owned everything and he didn't give glory to God. And he said, my soul, what shall I do? I'm going to build bigger barns. You know, I'm going to do all these things and so forth. And I will say to my soul, soul, take thy rest and enjoy and eat and be merry and so forth. And the Lord said, no, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You know, and then what will there, whose will those things be that you have laid up? Huh? Whose will those things be? Because he didn't give glory to God during his time that he should have. You can read that story in Luke chapter 12. I mean, he built, he got, he acquired many things. And he said, look, I have done all these great things. You know, I've got, you know, prosperity here. And I need even, you know, I can do even more things. And that's good. Because for a man to do good and enjoy the gift of all, I mean, the fruit of all his labor is the gift of God. God doesn't, I mean, God wants you to enjoy the things he's giving you. But, you know, we have to give that glory and that praise to God. That's what people don't do. So this man said, look, I will, you know, I will build more. I will do more. I will pull down my barns. I will do greater. I will bestow. I mean, I do all these things. God said, no, you know, your soul shall be required of thee tonight. So while you are thinking of, oh, I've got many years, I'm going to eat and drink and be merry. The Lord said, no, your soul will be required tonight. And whose shall those things be that you've laid up? Luke chapter 12, verse 20. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, but is not rich toward God. So are you rich toward God? The way to be rich toward God is to give him the praise and to give him the glory. That's how we are rich toward God. Glory to God.